Welcome back. I do have the opportunity and pleasure now to visit with Congresswoman Ashley Henson with me, Iowa's 2nd Congressional District and candidate for Senate. Congresswoman Henson, thanks for visiting with me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you, and great to be going around the state again.
You are busy, 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 Congresswoman. So I want to jump into this. I want to know more about, first off, I want to know a little bit about Ashley. Your family, you're married, you have two kids. Tell me a little bit about your family.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers, because I have two teenage boys now who eat me out of house and home, it feels like. But I was originally born and raised in the Des Moines area, so graduated from Valley High School and then went out of state to get my undergraduate degree, and then always knew I wanted to come back to Iowa. I love it here. I wanted to be able to raise my family and have my career here. So moved back to Cedar Rapids in 2005 for a morning anchor gig. So I was a journalist before I was a politician. And I always joke that I'm a recovering journalist because I got out of bed at 2 a.m. And I feel like if you can do that, you can do just about anything. But I did that for a long time and told Iowan stories. And at the heart of what I do now, it's very similar, right? You maybe don't put together the story, you put together a bill, but it's really at the end of the day about telling Iowan stories and solving their problems.
You bet. So you went to USC, correct?
I did. Yeah. I did. Yeah, Southern California. The weather's great. The traffic's bad. I always joke with people, you know, Southern California is beautiful. They have the ocean, but then we have oceans of green here in Iowa. And so it's lovely here in Iowa this time of year.
We do, Congresswoman. So a couple of things. I want to know where you stand on a couple of things. When I knew that we're going to have the opportunity to visit, I did a little research, Congresswoman. And I'm just curious, couple of things. Abortion. Where are you at on abortion?
Well, I'm unapologetically pro-life. I think it's really important that we continue to stand for life. It's in our Constitution. I've been a pro-life fighter both at the State House and here at the federal level, continuing to stand up to make sure taxpayer dollars are not being funneled to Planned Parenthood, to make sure we're protecting the Hyde Amendment, those provisions which protect taxpayer dollars from going to pay for abortions. The Mexico City policy, where those dollars had been flowing under the Biden administration to pay for abortions in other countries. So I've continued to stand up for life and look forward to continuing to be a strong fighter to stand up for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I like it. I like it, Congresswoman. So how about Second Amendment? Where are you at on the Second Amendment?
Well, very strong on the Second Amendment as well. I mentioned I served in the Iowa legislature before I got to Congress, and I had the privilege of voting for the constitutional amendment that we added to our Iowa Constitution to enshrine our Second Amendment rights. I've continued to protect those at the federal level, and in fact, one of my strongest advocacy points was last summer in the Big Beautiful Bill and the Working Families Tax Cut Bill. We were able to get rid of what I saw as an unconstitutional tax on many of the provisions surrounding firearms and weapons. So I think those are strong places where I've been able to stand up for Iowans' Second Amendment rights.
I think you say you're fiscally conservative, Congresswoman, if I'm looking at some of the literature correctly. Here's one of my concerns, and every time I have the opportunity to visit with someone about this, I do. We're nearly $40 trillion in debt. We run our deficit year to year, $1 trillion, $1.5 trillion. How do we ever get that under control, or do we at this point?
Well, I think I like to tell people what we are dealing with right now is the layers of the onion, and thank goodness we have President Trump at the helm and the courage to do what needs to be done here. We're kind of like an aircraft carrier out to sea. It takes a while to turn things around, but we are certainly trying to do that. I think the first step is obviously trying to reduce spending where we can. Taxpayers are still sending their money in dutifully to the federal government, so I still want to make sure we're delivering for Iowans, and I think I have struck a good balance in doing that while making those targeted investments in my district and in our state, while still making sure we're cutting a lot of that waste out of these budgets. Many of the 12 appropriations bills that I've had to work on in the past couple years, many of those agencies saw during COVID, for example, which was right before I got to Congress, saw in some cases like a 30% increase in their budgets. That was just unsustainable. And under my first term, when it was the Democrat trifecta of Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer, I voted against $6 trillion in spending. So we have to reverse the curse, as we call it, and that starts by peeling back those layers of the onion, all the waste, fraud, and abuse that we're uncovering in these programs that are designed to help people who need them, we want to see them continue to help people who need them, but not unfettered fraud. And so what's happening in Minnesota, what's been uncovered in Los Angeles mm-hmm. with the hospice rings, those are, I think, the first steps toward helping to rein a lot of that in, and in the process change how we're doing business. Department of Treasury is a great example. I've worked with Secretary Bessent on this, actually, and I have a piece of legislation that would codify the executive order that came out of the White House to try to stop the improper payments that were being kind of just unleashed without any accountability out of Treasury. Mm-hmm. We finally actually have a payment code system now at the federal government to make sure that half a trillion dollars worth of fraudulent payments aren't going out. So those are all the things that I'm working on concurrently to help make sure we're turning that ship around.
This is one that is, I just think, you know, for the time that I remember, Congressman, going all the way back to Reagan, we started to increase our national debt. We have continued to increase our national debt. There was a little bit of we didn't have a deficit through the 90s, and there was a surplus, if you remember, which was kind of a joke, but it seems like we just continually to go down that road. At some point, that gets to be a real problem for us. And I agree. I think we do the hard work now, Congresswoman, so our kids and our grandkids don't have to deal with this issue, because it will come due at some point.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And just philosophically, I think the key difference here is Rosa DeLauro, who's the ranking Democrat, the highest Democrat on the Appropriations Committee, said she didn't think we had a spending problem. She thinks we have a revenue problem, which to me is code for they want to raise your taxes. Yeah. They don't want to actually rein in spending. So philosophically, that's what I bring to the table. When I say I approach things from a fiscally conservative lens, I try to make sure I'm getting the best deal for Iowans possible. I want to spend where we need to spend, and that is respectful of taxpayers. But at the same time, there are so many places where we need to be cutting, and I'm not afraid to make those hard decisions.
I like it, Congresswoman. That's tough to do. You know, I'm not telling you, you've been in D.C. You know that's hard to do when you're there, because you're going to, well, you have everyone across the aisle. Many on the side of your aisle that will not go along with that. But I like what you're saying, Congresswoman. Let's talk about farming, can we? Because we are in Iowa, after all. Let's talk about, this is something that you have worked on a lot. You're going to have to explain to me the PRECISE Act, which I think you maybe got into the farm bill or was something that you sponsored. I want you to tell me about that, number one. And then number two, I want to go to E15 after that.
Yeah, well, absolutely excited to talk about E15, as you know, because I think that that was a big win for us. Still more work to do there. But really, at the end of the day, so my PRECISE Act is a piece of legislation that I've introduced. I think this is my third Congress, so I've introduced it every time that I've been in Congress. Basically, what we need is more opportunities for our farmers to access precision agriculture technology. So we were trying to figure out a way where we could provide some of those opportunities to our farmers without growing the size and scope of government, right? So to the earlier point of how can we do this in mm-hmm. a fiscally responsible way? Mm-hmm. So we looked at existing USDA programs, EQIP and CSP, and there are mechanisms then that farmers can access dollars and grant programs out of there to be able to buy and purchase some of these pieces of equipment. So I think it'll make precision ag systems more affordable in a time where inputs are extremely high cost and yields are important. And we just want our farmers to actually be able to make money, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they're feeding and fueling the world. And so this is just one way where we can hopefully make those tools more easily accessible.
Absolutely. We need our farmers to do well, because where we are in Southwest Iowa, rural economy, you know, it's how the farming and market is. It impacts everything that takes place here in our local economy. So it's huge. It's absolutely huge for our farmers to do well. E15 is a step in that direction. Do you like where we're at with that?
Well, I feel like we've got the most progress we've seen since I've been in Congress. Getting it passed off the House floor a few weeks ago was, I think, a major victory, a bipartisan win, right? You look at the coalition we were able to build. At the heart of it is we had to have a lot of conversations across the aisle about how important a domestic market is for our producers. Iowa obviously has a lot of ethanol plants. We grow a lot of corn. We do both of those things really, really well. And we need to make sure that, again, our farmers need to be able to make money. And it's a win-win because it also helps to drive down those costs at the pump, but it also helps to decrease our reliance on foreign oil. So I'm encouraged about where we are. I know Joni and Chuck are working very, very diligently to try to get it across the finish line in the Senate. They have the same challenges in the Senate that we had in the House. And so I know they're working to build a coalition of people on both sides of the aisle to get it done.
You have, by the way, Congresswoman Ashley Henson with me running for the seat that that Senator Ernst will not be running for at this point to take over that seat. Boy, Congresswoman, you have some big endorsements on your side of this whole thing. You feel good about that?
Yeah, I do, yes. Yeah. Of course, I have Senator Ernst, who is a good friend. I called her Joni earlier because, I mean, she's a good friend of mine, and I know you know her very well.
I do,
and,
yeah.
And Senator Grassley as well, having them both on my team. Governor Reynolds got on board with our campaign early on. And then, of course, doesn't hurt to have the big guy, President Trump, behind me as well. He endorsed my campaign the week we launched last fall because I think he knew he wants someone who's going to be a fighter for the agenda and to all the other things we just talked about reversing course. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows what needs to be done, and he needs someone with a spine in the Senate to help make sure we continue that good work. And so I know I have some big combat boots to fill, and Joni, I'm stepping away from this, but I am so grateful for her service and for her mentorship. I've learned a lot from her. And I guess I can say I look forward to learning a lot more from our senior senator, Chuck Grassley, when I get to serve with him soon.
Absolutely. And it will take a spine to be able to do it in the Senate, that's for sure, because it's not easy when you start trying to make significant changes. One of the things that in Iowa, I don't have to tell you this, Congresswoman, cancer is of great concern. I know many people my age and younger, and many, many people that have dealt with cancer. This is a concern. I think we know the reason, but tell me where you're at with that.
Yeah, well, and of course, we know the rising cancer rates in Iowa are very concerning. My grandmother passed away from colon cancer, and my aunt died from multiple myeloma, which is a blood cancer. So I've had two people in my family who've passed away from cancer, and so I'm leading efforts to make sure we're investing in additional research through my role on the Appropriations Committee. Again, we want those research dollars to actually get to the researchers, not be caught up in administrative costs. And so that's one place where I'm trying to help support a lot of the good work happening at places like University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. I applaud the governor's approach because she's been working to fund a lot of that research and get to the bottom of why cancer rates in our state are above average. And we can, I guess, speculate all we want to, but I want to make sure that when there are literally millions, if not billions of dollars at stake here, we need to make sure the policies are based on facts and sound science here. So I would say, too, one of the places that I am very focused is on women's health, making sure that that's accessible in rural areas especially. And so preventative health equipment and making sure that's there, like mammogram machines, for example, that is something that I've been trying to make sure we get more opportunities for places like Iowa.
All right. Absolutely. Congresswoman Ashley Henson with me. So it is a concern. It is certainly a concern. And I know, like I said, many, many people that have concern, been impacted. I can't think of anyone that doesn't have at least a family member that has dealt with it. So you were on the China Select Committee. I'm saying that wrong, Congresswoman. Select Committee on China. That's what I'm working for.
Yeah. We're trying to be competitive with China. That's all you need to know.
There you go. So, which is a huge challenge. They're both an adversary, in my opinion, but they're also necessary, in my opinion. Maybe not. Right. I don't know. You tell me. You're far more versed in that than I am, but tell me where we're at with China.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The devil's in the details with any deal we do with China, but we need to understand who we're working with here, understand the rules of engagement, right, as we like to say. But it's no secret, for decades, China has been rising at America's expense. Mm-hmm. They've walked all over our farmers. Look at the games they've played with our soybean deals. Workers, you know, they are taking advantage of transnational shipment to get around our tariffs and trade to try to undermine our American workforce. So I think when you look at the work that we're doing on that committee, it's a very bipartisan committee. Most of us all want China to be held accountable. We want access to markets. We want fair trade deals, and we need access to the Chinese market. But we also need China to stop defrauding our workers and our businesses. So that's where I think the president and his team have been making some really good, meaningful progress. More work to do there, obviously, to make sure they're held mm-hmm. to account. My main goal has been, how can we make the right mechanisms in place so that the accountability can happen? So on trade crimes, for example, I have a piece of legislation that would make sure the DOJ can actually more seriously go after these people who are using the evasive and malign techniques to get around our customs. So those are some places where we've been laser focused on making sure we're both standing up to China, but also making sure we're getting the best deal possible.
It's a challenge. That is for sure. No doubt about it. Congresswoman Ashley Hinson running for Senate in Iowa. So anything else, Congresswoman Hinson, that we need to be aware of? Pleasure to visit with you too, by the way. I know you're busy, Congresswoman, but I'm really happy that we finally got to make this connection. So thank you much for that.
Well, no, thank you. And, you know, I would just say this, I've been traveling the entire state. You know, at the heart of what I did before was I was a storyteller, right? I talked with people, I listened to people, and then my whole goal was to stop talking about it and start doing something about it. And so I've completed my 99 county tour and had a chance to talk with Iowans of all walks of life, from, you know, potato chip factories to Main Street tours like the one I did in Red Oak a few weeks back. So I've had a lot of opportunity to learn more about this great state. I could reiterate why I love being an Iowan, but I'm even more excited to have the opportunity to go off and tell Iowan stories in the United States Senate so we can make sure that we're protecting the American dream for everyone. So that would be my message to everyone. Get out and vote on June 2nd. I would love to have your support, and then we'll need you again in November.